Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where you are in the world and what time it is when you're tuning in. This is Perrin Desports. I'm your host for the Group Practice Accelerator podcast from Polaris Healthcare Partners. If you're an entrepreneurial dentist or physician, and you're interested in building a successful group practice, you found your primary resource for some of the industry's best business education. My partner, DeWalker Sinha, and I have decades of experience helping people just like you launch, scale, and ultimately exit successful group practices. In short, we create clarity, confidence, and results. Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the Group Practice Accelerator podcast. This one, I'm going to unpack a superpower. That's right, a little different from some of the episodes I've done before, but I'm taking a lesson from one of our recent Ascendant Executive classes that I taught. And I want to share some insights with you because this is something that is not on any of your radars, and it probably should be. Lessons in leadership, that's right. It's all on today's episode, so get your pad and pen ready. You know it will be a note-taking one, and you're definitely going to want a cup of that wonderful Miele coffee. The Group Practice Accelerator podcast is on the air. Well, welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the Group Practice Accelerator podcast. I am your host, Perrin Desports, and as I teased in the introduction, I'm going to talk about a superpower today. No, we're not talking about the United States versus the Soviet Union or China, that kind of superpower. We're not even talking about Russia versus Ukraine or any other global geopolitical issue here. What I want to talk about is leadership. And I don't really do episodes like this too terribly often, but I kind of wish I did, honestly, because I love working with entrepreneurs who are building group practices. I'm an entrepreneur at heart now as well, and I spent a lot of time in what I call corporate America, 15 years, and learned a few things by doing a couple of things right. And frankly, I learned a few things by doing a couple of things wrong. And sometimes I saw things that other people did that went wrong, and I learned from those as well. And I think, you know, we talk about growth strategy, we talk about analytically driven businesses and trends and EBITDA and all this other kind of stuff. And sometimes I think we get wrapped up in the fact that there's so much financial information and business acumen being shared that we sometimes lose sight of the fundamentals. And, you know, there are a lot of times that we work with really, really great group practices and help them improve, and they are rock solid on the fundamentals, and they produce nice financial results. And there are other times that we tend to focus on the lack of financial results with clients, and we maybe don't give as much focus to the fundamentals like we should. And I kind of teased in the introduction that I want to talk about a superpower today, and I didn't really know how to cast this one as I was pulling my thoughts together for it. But I'm going to dig into that because it's trite as it may sound, and you know, superpower is a much bigger term than probably what it warrants, but an application maybe not so. You know, when we look at successful group practices and we talk about building a successful group practice, we do tend to focus on analytics, metrics, numbers, and things. We talk about number of locations. We talk about revenue and utilization rate, and EBITDA and valuation, and all this other kind of stuff. And yeah, that's kind of the sexy point that everybody can look at because it's on a spreadsheet somewhere or it's on a graph or something like that. And for those of us who are building businesses, and we talk about strategic planning and you know, pro forma outcomes and all that kind of stuff, that's what you and I love doing. We like getting out an Excel model. We like putting formulas and numbers in, and we like spitting out something and seeing what the outcome is. And we think like that's the end result, that if we just put the number in the cell correctly and it yields the outcome that we want, that we're 50% of the way there. And we're not. I'm not, you're not, we're not. And this runs counter to what we normally talk about one-on-one with clients, and also what we talk about from the stage or on our podcast. And I want to open up today's episode by not being analytically driven. I want to open up today's episode by talking more about leadership. And I'm 53 now. I entered the professional world. I graduated from college in 1993. So I entered the working world in the mid 90s. And kind of grew up in the Reagan years, and then Clinton was president when I was entering the workforce. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of technological transitions. I've seen a lot of enterprise level business transitions. Never really been part of one, so to speak. But I grew up in a family business, dental distribution business, before we decided to sell the business to Patterson, and had a pretty good career with Patterson Dental over 15 years, and ran three different businesses for them. So, you know, I think my history over the last three decades has been very much evolutionary, both for me personally, working in a pretty large size family business, then working for a publicly traded company for 15 years, and then becoming a full-fledged entrepreneur for the last seven, and getting to work with many of you who are at different stages of your career. So I've been kind of eyes wide open to a lot of different things over that period of time, and the sort of evolutionary business cycles driven predominantly through the internet and technology-based orientation has been pretty dramatic. One of the individuals who ran a global conglomerate that was sort of, when I was going through getting my MBA in business school and through the early stages of my professional career back in the 90s and early 2000s, one of the instrumental business figures of our time, seminal business figures of our time, this guy named Jack Welch, who was the chairman, CEO of the General Electric Company, ran that business. He was a career employee at GE and ran the company as CEO for 20 years, and was regarded as being one of the a business figurehead, the likes of which we haven't had very many in the United States over, you know, hundreds of years. Certainly, there are a lot of names that we all recognize, and most of them are tech-driven today. But Welch was in traditional business and in a global business, was really a figurehead that earned a lot of notoriety, some of it positive, some of it negative. But he's got a lot of great quotes, and one of which I share with people from time to time, and one of which I've shared with our Ascendant Executive group that I'm working with right now, is the following. When asked about leadership and what made Welch such a great leader, and you know, how does he run an organization that has 300,000 employees spread all over every corner of the globe? What makes him so effective, and what makes him a great leader? Jack Welch has a tremendous quote, and he really boiled it down to the essence. And this is what I shared with our Ascendant Executive Group. Welch said, "I do three things. I communicate ideas, I pick people, and I allocate resources." So let me say that again real quick. For those of you who do take notes on these episodes, this is probably something worth writing down. I do three things. I communicate ideas, I pick people, and I allocate resources. And it's basically in that order. When he says allocate resources, it's typically time and capital, dollars for investment, right? So communicate ideas, pick people, and allocate resources. The beautiful thing about what Welch says as it relates to this is that it's applicable to any and every business. You don't have to be the chairman and CEO of the General Electric Company or Amazon or any other business to benefit from Welsh's succinct guidance. He was brilliant in a lot of his simplicity and his ability to see trends and communicate coherently what they were going to do about those trends. And so when he says, I communicate ideas, I pick people, and I allocate resources, he's really boiling it down to every interaction he has at every level of a multinational corporation. How often do you do the same in your business? Think about that for a minute, because there's not a whole lot of subtlety or nuance in those three things: communicate ideas, pick people, and allocate resources. How much time do you spend in each of those buckets? Well, we talk about associates a lot, right? We talk about associate equity models, and we talk about attracting and recruiting associates and onboarding and developing associates. Well, you know, we talk about C-suite leadership teams like COO and chief dental officer and all that. Those are all pick people, right? That's the pick people part of what he's talking about. You're building a growing organization that's dynamic and it's hopefully growing and improving over time. Yeah, you pick people, whether you're intentional or not. I don't know how much time you and forethought you give to it, but whether you like it or not, you're in a people-driven business. Yours is an intensely personal area of healthcare. It's one-on-one with a patient, whether you're a dentist or a podiatrist or an optometrist or psychologist or anything else. I mean, that's an intimate environment. So you are interacting with your patients one-on-one, and your associates and your team are interacting with them if you're not there. So you're picking the people that deliver the service. That's pretty pivotal, I think. Allocate resources. You're personally guaranteeing a lot of loans. You probably don't think about your time as a resource, but I would tell you, you need to, and it's critically important. But you probably only think about resources as it relates to financial investment. That's okay at some level, but time is arguably more important, I would tell you, because you can always make a financial mistake and hopefully recover from it and, you know, backfill the hole that you dug yourself, but you never get back the time you waste. Your time's your most valuable resource. That's probably a different episode on the podcast, and one I'm not going to spend much more time on today. What I am going to talk about today is what Welsh led off with, and that's communicating ideas. And the reason that I think this is so important, and the reason that we spent a lot of time with this in our Ascendant Executive class that I recently taught, is because I don't think too many of you are intentional about this, and I think it can be mission critical to your success. I would also tell you that your ability to communicate clearly, consistently, in a variety of media and a variety of means is arguably something that is the precursor to the financial successes that you all hope to reap. And I don't think any of you give a second thought to it, honestly. And nobody's probably ever told you to, and nobody's ever told you how, and nobody's ever told you how to think about it. And, you know, shame on us. When I say us, I don't mean us at Polaris. I mean, all of us in an advisory role that spend so much time with you as healthcare entrepreneurs, that we don't give the time to the aspect of communication that it warrants, and that maybe some of us aren't even aware of the critical nature of the success that it creates. I would tell you that I am aware of that, which is probably reflecting even more poorly on me that I haven't done an episode on this up to this point. And the reason that I say I am aware of it is because I have led multiple different businesses in my career that were completely different from the family business that I was involved in and the technology side of the business that I was helping to build at that time, both as a sales rep and a sales manager. I ran three different businesses for Patterson, and all three of those were dramatically different businesses at dramatically different stages of either implosion, turnaround, or underperforming from a success standpoint. And as an entrepreneur, building a business with partners and certainly with employees and working directly with so many of you, communication skills for me are of paramount importance. In case you missed the obvious, I'm recording a podcast about it. You know, let me hammer that point home for a second. So when we think about communication, why is this so important? Because leadership is all about being effective in moving people, catalyzing people to do something that they're not predisposed to do, that they may not understand or see that they need to do, and sometimes that they don't want to do. You are all really good at this and you don't realize it. And let me tell you where and how. All of you in this audience are responsible for delivering proposed treatment to a patient who needs some type of a different outcome than what they came to you with. They need a resolution to their healthcare problem. That's why they're in your office. And all of you in this audience run dramatically successful businesses, or at a minimum, far above average businesses. I don't get the opportunity to talk with people who are running below average practices or businesses too terribly often. They're just not in our orbit. So I'm really confident that those of you who are listening to this podcast right now are a cut above. Y'all are either really successful or you're far above average, even if you haven't reached the level of success that you aspire to. What got you to where you are right now? The primary thing that got you to where you are right now is that you started out in a role where you had to present a treatment plan or multiple plans to patients, and they said yes. They believed, they trusted what you were advocating for. They consented to it, and you created a clinical outcome that solved their problem. And for that, you derived a certain amount of revenue and personal income and profitability that, when all added up in the aggregate, yields where you are right now. And if you weren't able to convince patients to say yes, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast and you wouldn't be interested in building a group practice. So you are good at communication, whether you realize it or not. One of the things that probably makes you good at presenting treatment is the fact that you don't present it from a chemistry standpoint or a biology standpoint or even a dentistry standpoint or something else. You don't use these medical terms that nobody understands and can't relate to. You break it down into its simplicity to describe the condition, the path to restoration, and the outcome that comes after that. You can paint a vision for that patient on better days for them, clinically speaking, are ahead with your guidance and your capabilities. And you're really good at that, or else you wouldn't be aspiring to build a group practice, because you certainly wouldn't be building on failure. And nobody who wants to build a group practice is below average. So I would tell you that even though you don't spend any time thinking about it, and even though you probably don't have any intentionality behind it, you're a pretty good communicator one-on-one. The next question is, if you're good with patients one-on-one, how often are you communicating things to your practice level team or your company across the organization, if it's multiple locations? How often are you communicating trends, outlooks? In times of adversity, how often are you communicating that, you know what, team, things are pretty dire right now, but our best days are ahead of us, and here's why. A, B, and C, this is what we're going to do. Here are some of the things that I'm seeing unfold in the industry right now, and here's why I think we're positioned really, really well for the future. This can be an informal type of communication. It can be verbal, meaning in a small group setting. It can be intensely formal in an entire company setting. It might be verbal, like I mentioned before, like I'm communicating to you verbally. It could be in written format. Maybe every month or every quarter, you send a one-page write-up on the state of the business and the state of the industry. Maybe it could be a shift in the strategy of the business. We're going to do something differently, and here's why. It could be a video recording over a Zoom or a Loom video or something like that, or even on your cell phone for that matter, for like, you know, 60 seconds or something, and you want to push a text message or a video message out to your entire team. It might be a little more informal like that versus formal. My point in bringing this up to you is that leadership doesn't exist in a vacuum. You have to embrace your changing role as an entrepreneur, moving from clinician to CEO. And as you start to move into the role of CEO, we talk a lot about the areas of focus and how you make an impact in the business and what you do with your time and all those types of things. But what I would tell you is, whether you've got one location, 10 locations, or 100 locations, you need to stop for a second and think about how frequently you communicate to your small teams, your intermediate-sized teams, and your company. And then you need to think about the cadence and consistency with which you're delivering messages. And you need to think about how formal or informal those are, and then what the different media applications are that you use to deliver them. You need to develop a structure for communication, because the more people hear from you is the better you're able to govern their expectations. The other thing I would tell you on this is, the more frequently and maybe informally you engage with your people, even on a one-on-one basis for that matter, small group to one-on-one, is the better you're able to establish relationships based on trust. They feel like they know what you're thinking. They feel like they know what the boss wants. They feel like they trust you. There are going to come times where things don't go well. You reach a point of adversity. The chips are down. Something goes wrong. And you've got to communicate a challenging message to them. But you've got to communicate it from not just an acknowledgement of what the challenging situation is, but that better days lay ahead of us. And the reason you're so confident in those better days is because of the following: A, B, and C. If they trust you, they'll respond to you. You'll rally the troops, and it'll be a quicker turn, a quicker pivot to better days ahead. They're going to trust you if they believe in you, and they're going to believe in you because they hear from you frequently. And if they don't, then they're probably going to discount your message. And that's a bad place to be as a leader wanting to create a turnaround in an organization, or a leader who is advocating for a change in the organization. Jack Welch said, "I communicate ideas, I pick people, and I allocate resources." And what he didn't say is that he does them in that order. There's a reason that communicate ideas comes up first, because when you communicate ideas, the people that step forward and say they want to follow you are going to be the people you pick. And those people that you pick, you're going to put whatever resources behind them to make them as unbelievably successful for them and for you as you possibly can. I communicate ideas, I pick people, and I allocate resources. In our Ascendant Executive class this week, we were fortunate enough to have the CEO of Oak Point, which is a private equity-backed regional DSO, predominantly in North and South Carolina, a friend of mine named Mick Jeunesse, who I've had on the podcast previously, and he's a bright light in the industry that I trust, and I'm fortunate to call him a friend. And Mick shared with us a lot of what makes him a great CEO and what he does in that role. And with our Ascendant Executive class, we spent a lot of time talking about communication, and Mick shared a lot of insights that I've reverberated to you in today's episode. And I think we can all learn from that. And I think this is something that requires a high degree of intentionality from you, and thinking about what you communicate, the frequency with which you communicate, the consistency with which you communicate, and how you communicate, meaning what media you use to reach your people. For those of you who think that it's just about treatment plans to patients, it's a lot more than that. And maybe for some of you think about, well, I communicate things in a morning huddle. That's good enough, right? No, it really isn't. It really isn't. You're the leader of the business, whether you like it or not. And it's your message that people are going to respond to. And when there is no message, you can gauge what the response is. Communication is a superpower of every effective leader. Some are intentional about perfecting their craft and getting better at communication and creating clarity, creating confidence, and clarity leads to confidence, and confidence leads to results, right? Well, for those that do that, they tend to run better businesses, and those better businesses tend to produce pretty good financial results. And for those that aren't intentional about their communication, kind of leave it to when they got to do it, and it's not that big a deal. We all just show up and go to work each day, right? Well, sometimes people need a little bit of inspiration and they need to feel like they're connected to you. And if you're not taking the time to connect with them, the results will be what the results will be, but it's on you as a leader, founder, and owner of the business. This is a superpower, whether you like it or not. And for those that do have it, you know what I'm talking about, and you probably use it in spades. And for those that never realized the value of communication, my hope is that this particular episode gets you to think about things a little bit differently than the way you might have before, because those that are good at it tend to create better businesses. And obviously, for those who want to become better leaders in their business, feel more confident about the business they're building, the business that they're operating, and want to learn a bit more about it, I think you should consider our Ascendant Executive Program. It's a group coaching model that's built to deliver these types of concepts and application for those of you who want to build a more effective organization. Be happy to tell you all about that if you want to reach out directly. There's some stuff on our website about it too, but happy to dig into it more. This was just one of those episodes of Ascendant Executive that I felt merited a podcast episode, because it's something that we don't give enough time to, and we should. And it can be the difference in make or break for success for all of you. So I hope you've gotten a good bit out of today. Hopefully you'll go back and listen to this episode a second time, or even take some notes on it. And if you've got questions, feel free to reach out to me directly about it. You can always reach me via email at Perrin@PolarisHealthcarePartners.com. You can fill out any of the comment forms, the web form submissions on our website. Be happy to set up a call with you and dig deeper into any and all of it. Thanks so much for being a listener and a subscriber. Really appreciate you being in the audience, and we'll see you on the next episode.